All right, Shavuot say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf, beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Mem Dalet 44. We are picking up Emir Hashem on Mem Gimel Amud Beis 43b. And Shavuot say we're picking up over here on Rav Nachman. Oh, excuse me. Well, we can pick up. Yeah, we can pick up Nardoi. So remember again, we're discussing the topic of Mashko. The topic ultimately again that if I lend Reuven money, Reuven gives me collateral, what is my relationship to that collateral? Now, this issue comes to a head in situations where I lose the collateral. If I lose the collateral, ultimately, again, does that mean I've lost the ability to collect the debt or not? So we're beginning to see a fundamental machlokes in that particular issue. We began with the statement of Shmuel. So Shmuel said, ultimately, again, that collateral represents a form of payment of the debt, and therefore, when the lender loses the collateral, he loses the ability, or he no longer has the ability to collect anything else. Shmuel's novelty was what? Was that even if the collateral is dramatically different in value than the actual loan itself, nevertheless, it appears that when a lender accepts collateral, he accepts that collateral as repayment, independent of the value of the actual loan itself. Lose the collateral, lose the ability to achieve any additional level of repayment. So we'll say, now we're up to the Nardoyim. Nardoyim, Omri, so we'll say, this is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 lines up from the bottom. Nardoyim, Omri, Afilu kata v'naska. So remember again, we saw the distinction yesterday of Rav Nachman, who says if you receive ultimately again the axe handle and the piece of silver, then our Nardoyim say even if you received the axe handle and the piece of silver, avad naska, avad palga, we'll say two collaterals means half of the loan is attached, half of the loan, 50% of the loan is attached to each of the items. Therefore, again, avad naska, avad palga, if you lose the silver, you lose half of the loan. Avad kata, avad kule. If you lose the axe handle, you lose the other half of the loan. So tonight, Rabbi says, so we learned, selehil v'sichalav, v'shekel hayashavet. So remember again, we learned in the Mishnah, I say to Reuven, I lent you $1,000, but the collateral itself was only worth $100. Va'ala omer lo, and Reuven says, no, not true. You lent me $1,000, but the collateral was worth $500. So we'll say, what's talocha? Chayiv. So Reuven, the borrower, is chayiv, because we'll say that'll be called the Shuas Modu. It makes us, I, Leimale, Hakabli say. But one second, why doesn't the borrower say to the lender, when you accepted the collateral, you accepted that collateral as repayment of the debt, right? In other words, when you were makabel the collateral, you accepted that for payment. And therefore, again, whether it's worth 100, 500, 300, or 1,000, it makes no difference. This is what you accepted ultimately, again, as payment of the debt. To which the Gemara says, Masnisin b'deparish, Shmuel b'delo parish. Because it will say, ultimately, again, the Mishnah is talking about a case of where one was explicit. If you look at Rashi, Rabbo says, it's the second to last line in Rashi on the page. B'deparish, Einoi makablo alai, ela ba'achrayus tama b'shabyav. Rabbo says, the case of the Mishnah is as follows, where the lender makes the following declarative statement. I'm accepting this collateral for its value. For its value. In other words, we'll say, so I am not accepting this collateral as a form of repayment of the debt. Now we'll discuss, by the way, what exactly that means. Meaning we've always assumed that collateral is usually something that can be used as a form of repayment in the event that the borrower is unable to pay cash. So if you don't hold that way, we'll discuss ultimately what collateral is there to accomplish. But the point that the Gemara is making over here is as follows. The Mishnah's case of Osai is where the lender explicitly says, I'm accepting this collateral, but I'm not accepting it ultimately again as a form of repayment. Rather, my liability for this item is capped at its actual value. As opposed to the case of Shmuel, Rabbi Osai, where in the case of Shmuel, the lender does not make that distinction. The lender doesn't make the distinction. Rather, again, the lender just accepts it. So it appears that when the lender accepts it, then halacha l'maisa, again, he accepts it as full repayment of the debt. We'll see what halacha is in just a moment. So the Gemara goes vayit. The Gemara says, limik tanoi. So the truth is, maybe this is machlokes. Rabbi Osai, see here the machlokes. It is a fundamental discussion about the nature of the relationship between a lender and collateral. is collateral there as a form of repayment, or is collateral there as something else? Now, something else Rabbi say we'll see could mean what? Maybe collateral is just there as a reminder of the debt, right? That collateral is there as a tangible reminder of the fact that I lent Reuven money. How was the reminder that I lent Reuven money? Why else is Reuven's watch in my house? Right, Reuven's watch is because I lent you money. What's an afkamina? Rabbi say afkamina is exactly this kind of case where the collateral is lost. Do we say when collateral is lost, ability to reclaim or recoup repayment is lost as well? Or no? When collateral is lost, I as the lender, I'm on the hook for the value of the collateral. But I have not lost repayment at all. So if somebody lends his friend money, I lend Reuven money on the mashkon, right, with collateral, and now the collateral is lost. So we'll say, what's talacha? Yishava v'yito esma osav. So we'll say, ultimately, again, he swears, right? Meaning the he over here in this case is me, the lender. I swear, right? Rashi says, Yishava sha'avdo v'yito eschavo. I swear, ultimately, again, that I lost the collateral, and I go ahead and I collect my money. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So we'll say these are the words of Rabbi Eliezer. So again, we'll say again, but as a shita, I lose the collateral, I swear that I lost it, and I collect my debt. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Yochol hu sheyomar lo, klum hil visani, ala alamashkon, avad amashkon, avad ma'osecha. Comes along Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva says, listen, if I lose the mashkon, the borrower, Reuven, the borrower could say to me, listen, Silber, you lent me money with the mashkon, the collateral. When you lose the collateral, then what? You lose the ability to collect the debt. Aval, hamalva elef zuz, b'shtar, v'niach mashkon biado. But I will say, if I lent Reuven $1,000, and there's a document, but there's also a mashkon, Reuven also gave me collateral, Divrei HaKol Avad HaMashkon Avdu Ma'osav. Everyone will agree that if I lose the mashkon, then ultimately again I lose the ability to collect the debt. So I will say, see, here's what we have so far. So again, in a regular case where I go ahead and I lend Reuven money and there's a mashkon, I now go ahead and lose the mashkon. What's the halacha? Rabbi Eliezer says, I, the lender, take a shuah that I lost the mashkon and I collect my debt. Rabbi Akiva says, nope. You lost the mashkon, you lost the ability to collect. The mashkon represents repayment, and therefore, again, you can't go ahead and reclaim any kind of repayment. So we'll say, the fundamental machlokas in Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer is what? Is the nature of mashkon. Is mashkon a form of repayment, or is it just some type of security? Rabbi Eliezer clearly holds it's just a form of security, therefore, if I lose it, I swear that I lost and I collect my debt. Rabbi Akiva says, no, once it's a form of repayment, therefore, once you lose it, you lose the ability to repay. However, the Gemara then says, everyone agrees that if I lend Reuven $1,000, the loan is recorded in a document, but he also gives me mashkon. In that case, everyone agrees that if I lose the mashkon, I lose the money. So Gemara says, okay, hey Chidami, what's the case here? I de shavi shir zuzi. Say if the value of the mashkon was the value of the debt, so I lent Reuven $1,000 and he gave me $1,000 mashkon, then fine. Then the Gemara says, top of mem dalar abosai. My time, the Rabbi Eliezer. The Rabbi will say, ultimately again, then what is the logic of Rabbi Eliezer? Meaning, why would Rabbi Eliezer hold that Lemaisa again? Why would Rabbi Eliezer hold that I have the ability to go ahead and collect my debt? Meaning, if at the end of the day the value of the mashkon was the value of the actual debt, then Lemaisa again, once I lose the mashkon, I should lose the ability to collect. Yet, what did Rabbi Eliezer say? I swear that I lost, bless you, I swear that I lost the mashkon, I can still collect the debt. El alav, bidalo shavi shir zuzi. Rather, it has to be ultimately again that the value of the mashkon is not the value of the actual loan itself. And therefore, ubidishmuel kamiflagi. And therefore, we'll say the point of the machlokas over here is the sheet of Shmuel. Shmuel is the one who said before that when you accept collateral, you accept collateral as the value of the debt. And therefore, according to Shmuel, if the lender loses the collateral, then what? Then what? You lose the ability to collect anything more on the debt. So maybe that's what they're arguing about. To which the Gemara says, lo, bidlo shavi. So it says the Gemara, everyone agrees that what? When the value of the collateral does not mirror the actual value of the debt, kuli alma, less lude Shmuel. We'll say, so this is what's interesting. It says the Gemara, when the value of the collateral does not mirror the value of the debt, no one holds like Shmuel. No one holds that if you lose the collateral, you're going to lose the ability to collect. So what's the case here? V'hacha b'deshavi shir zuzi. So we'll say over here, we're dealing with a case of where l'mais again, the collateral is the same value as the actual loan itself. And I will say, in fact, the machlokes Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Akiva is rooted in the statement of Rabbi Yitzchak. What does Rabbi Yitzchak say? Term Rabbi Yitzchak, minayin lebalchov shekana mashkon. So listen to this. Rabbi Yitzchak says, from where do we know that a balchov, that a lender, goes ahead and acquires the actual mashkon? The Rabbi say again that the mashkon becomes his. Shene emar. Rabbi say now, as we're going to see, there is going to be a fundamental machlokes as to the nature of the relationship between a balchov, a creditor, a lender, and the mashkon, and the actual collateral. Does the collateral belong to him? Does he acquire the mashkon? Or is he more like a shomer, like a custodian for the mashkon? So Rabbi Yitzchak says, from where do we know that the balchov, the actual lender, goes ahead and acquires the mashkon, that it is his? Shenemar, because what the pasuk says, ulachat yetzdaka. Because we also listen to this. The pasuk over here is talking about the following. This is talking about that if I seize an object as collateral, and let's say again the person is impoverished, the borrower is poor, so the collateral is something that he needs. For example, I take his pajamas as collateral. So what does the Torah say? Hashev tashiv lo es ha'avot kivo ha'shemesh v'shachah b'samoso b'rechacha. So this is what the Torah tells me, that if I collateralize his pajamas, I should give him back his pajamas at night, and I should go ahead and I could take them back the next morning. Or I go ahead and I take his hammer, and he's a carpenter, so I could keep his hammer at night, but in the morning I should give him back his hammer. And the Torah says, ulchot yetzdaka. It's actually machlokes and mafarshim, as talents in this phrase, but the Gemara is saying over here, ulchot yetzdaka means, and lender, this will consider to be a tzdaka. This is an act of righteousness, of kindness that you are perpetrating. So says the Gemara, im eino kone mashkon, tzedaka minayin lo. So we'll say, so it's only a tzedaka of what? So essentially the Torah is telling me is, if I, the lender, go ahead and return the mashkon to the borrower whenever he needs it, that's a tzedaka that I'm performing. Now it's only a tzedaka, I will say, if what? It's only a tzedaka if I own it. If it's mine, if it's legally mine, and yet I still go out of my way to go ahead and give it back to him, then that is a tzedaka. However, in eino kone mashkon, but if I don't acquire the mashkon, then tzedaka minayin. Then I will say, what tzedaka is there? Mikan, from what do we learn from here? Mikan, the balchov shekana mashkon. From here we learn, says Rabbi Yitzchak, that ultimately, again, the balchov, the creditor, the lender, actually acquires the mashkon. To which the Gemara says, leima, to Rabbi Yitzchak tanoihi. Maybe the statement of Rabbi Yitzchak, I will say, is in fact a machlokes tanoim. How so? So says the Gemara Tizbra, the Tizbra, Emar dam Rabbi Yitzchak, Shemashkono shelo b'shas halva. I will say, this is interesting. So when does Rabbi Yitzchak say, I will say, Yeshita, that a balchov actually acquires ownership over the mashkon? That's only Shemashachno shelo b'shas halva. That's only, I will say, when the mashkon was given, not at the time that the actual loan was made. However, Mashachno b'shas halva mi amar, does Rabbi Yitzchak say that the lender acquires the mashkon if the mashkon was given at the time of the debt? Now, I will say, I'll look at Rashi for just a moment. Emar dar Rabbi Yitzchak, Shemashachno b'shelo b'shas halva. Also, when does Rabbi Yitzchak say that the balchov acquires the mashkon? That's only when the mashkon was given later on, after the debt was made. Why look at Rashi? Kigon al yidei bezdin. Rashi says, the last Rashi on the page, the v'hachi mishtaykra, v'chsiv le'elminei, v'chutz ta'amot v'ayish, v'amar mar zesh liach bezdin. So we'll listen to this. So the Gemara says, from the context of the Pesukim, it sounds like over here what's happening in this case is that Lamaisa, this is talking about a situation where Beis Din gave the lender this mashkon after the loan was made. Sometime after the loan was made, Beis Din, for some reason, awarded the lender the mashkon. So we'll say, that's when Rabbi Yitzchak says that the Balchov acquires the mashkon. But perhaps it's possible that what? That when the mashkon is given at the time of the loan itself, the Balchov does not acquire it. Now we'll say, so obviously the underlying question over here is, if a Baal Chuv doesn't acquire a Mashkon, then ultimately, again, what is the power of that Mashkon? So we'll get to that in just a moment. But the Gemara is just suggesting over here, is, and this is really just based on the context of the Psukim, that Lamaisa, again, since the Torah is talking about a situation where it sounds like Beis Din is giving the lender a Mashkon, perhaps what Rabbi Yitzchok says that the Baal Chuv acquires the Mashkon is when the Mashkon is awarded after, I'm using the word awarded, is given after the loan is made. But if the Mashkon is given at the time of the loan itself, maybe the Baal Chuv doesn't acquire it. Shelo b'shas haval kuli amalo pligi, the islu d'Rabbi Yitzchok, to which the Gemara says, Ella, but Eimer dar Rabbi Yitzchok, Shema shachnu shelo b'shas haval, when does Rabbi Yitzchok say yeshita? That's when the Mashkon was given later, after the actual loan was made. However, m'shachnu b'shas haval, mi amar, but again, at the time that the collateral was given, at the time the loan was made, who says that Rabbi Yitzchok holds that the Baal Chuv acquires it? Ella, Mashachno shelo b'shas hava also. Rather, I will say, if the Mashkon was given not at the time the loan was made, in other words, the Mashkon was given after the loan was made, kolei amalo pligi de islu de Rabbi Yitzchok. Everyone will agree that we hold of the shita of Rabbi Yitzchok. Right? Everyone will agree that lemaisa, again, we subscribe to Rabbi Yitzchok, namely, that the Baal Chuv is kona the Mashkon. V'hacha, b'mashachno b'shas hava also. We'll say, watch this. This is really interesting. Here, what's the machlokas? The machlokas we'll say is about the following case. I lend Reuven money. I lend him $1,000. At the time of the loan, there was no mashkon given. Right? I take that back. At the time of the loan, a mashkon was given. Because also remember, the other case, which is I lend Reuven $1,000, and then a week later, a month later, whatever it is, I'm given a mashkon. At this point, the Gemara is assuming everyone agrees with Rabbi Yitzchak, which we'll discuss, everyone agrees with Rabbi Yitzchak, that the lender will in fact acquire the actual mashkon itself. Now we're dealing with another case, which is where I lent Reuven money, a mashkon was not given at the time of the loan, but a mashkon, I'm sorry, I keep saying that, a mashkon was given at the time of the loan, and therefore, what's the machlokis over here? Last time I'm dalal m'dalif, u'bishomer aveda kamiflagi. And I will say the machlokis over here is regarding ishomer aveda. And I will say shomer aveda literally is someone who finds a lost object and is now watching that object as he seeks out the owner. The itmar, I will say, watch this. Shomer aveda. What's the status of a shomer aveda? Well, remember again, if I'm going and I'm watching an object that I found, a lost object that I found, what kind of shomer am I? We'll say, watch this. Rabba amar ki shomer chinon. So we'll say, that's easy. Right? The rabbi says, I'm an unpaid custodian. Right? Which I will say, by the way, means I have relatively low liability. The only liability I have is what? Is if what? Is pshia. Right? If I'm mamish, if I'm negligent. Right? If I'm negligent. Recklessly negligent. However, I will say, I'm a base. Watch this. Rav Yosef amar ki shomer sachar. Rav Yosef says, I am like a paid custodian. I will say, how could I possibly be reckoned as a paid custodian for an object that I found and I don't even know the owner? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Kishomer Sachar, get ready. Schar mitzvah. Schar mitzvah. Thank you. I told you that's a good one. Schar mitzvah. Umalva ala mashkon nami mitzvah of it. They're both saying, watch this. So says the Gemara, when I watch a lost object, so we'll say, I am getting paid. What's the payment? The payment is in the form is that I'm getting a mitzvah. So we'll say, what Rav Yosef is saying over here is a looser interpretation of a shomer sachar. Right? A shomer sachar is anyone who gets benefit from his agency, from his shmirah. So normally we interpret that as financial gain. I'm getting paid to do it. Now Rav Yosef comes along and says, even if I get a mitzvah, ultimately, again, for fulfilling this agency, I am going to be, that's called the Shomer Sachar. So I go ahead and I get a mitzvah for watching over the Aveda. Therefore, again, and now Rashi adds in over here, Umalva ala mashkon nami mitzvah avid. And therefore, again, Rav Yosef says that when one lends on collateral, he is also performing a mitzvah of lending money. And therefore, again, he is considered to be like a Shomer Sachar on the mashkon itself. Lema, to Rav Yosef Tanahi. So we'll say, maybe the statement of Rav Yosef is a machlokes Tanoim, to which the Gemara says, lo, b'shomer aveda d'choli alma esu Rav Yosef, it's not true. We'll say, when it comes to a lost object, everyone agrees with the position of Rav Yosef. So we'll say, if I find a lost object, and I am now watching that object, everyone will agree that I am a Shomer Sachar. Why am I a Shomer Sachar? Because I'm getting a mitzvah ultimately again of guarding the lost object. So let's say v'hacha b'milvet tzarech l'mashkon kamefligi. Wow. We'll say so many dramatic machlokes in today. What's going on over here? Says the Gemara, the machlokes over here is regarding a case where the lender needs the mashkon. The lender needs mashkon. We'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Tzarech l'mashkon, it's the last of the wide lines on top, four lines in from the top of the base. Tzarech l'mashkon, l'shtamishbo. We'll say, ultimately, again, what's the case over here? The case is, I go ahead and I lend Reuben $1,000. He gives me his garden shears, and what happens? I happen to need to do some landscaping, so I need shears. I need shears. So what happens? So what's the arrangement? The Rebbe Kedrashi Tzarech L'Mashkon L'Shtamishbo U'Menakilo Menachov D'Meischiras HaMashkon. So we'll say the way this works, by the way, is, and this has to be stipulated, is I go ahead and I say to Reuven, listen, here's the deal. So I'm lending you $1,000. You give me the shears as collateral. I'm going to use the shears. And obviously, every single time I use the shears, we're going to attribute some, that act is worth something. I'm going to subtract the value of that service, ultimately, again, from your debt. So we'll say, remember, again, every time you use shears, so you go ahead and, maybe shears aren't the best example, maybe snowblower is a little bit better, something machinery. The idea being that every single time you use it, there's an element of depreciation, right? Plus, there's an actual benefit that comes from it. So we're going to, how we calculate the amount is irrelevant for our conversation today. The point is, they have this particular arrangement. I'm gonna use the shears, and I'll go ahead and subtract the value of that service from the total debt. So we'll say, so watch this. Mar savra mitzvah ka'avid, umar savra lav mitzvah kama. So we'll say back to the Rashi. Rashi says over here, v'havi kishomer chinam. I'm sorry. So Rashi says, look, I'm sorry. Look, read the beginning of the Rashi. Tzarech l'mashkon, l'shtamishbo, umenaki menachov d'mei s'chirus ha'mashkon, Rebbe Eliezer savar, kevan d'tzarech l'mashkon, im kan mitzvah, ulahana aso niskavein, v'havi kishomer chinam. So we'll say, Rabbi Eliezer will say, in this case, I will say, I'm not a shomer sachar, right? I'm a shomer chinam. Why? Because I'm not getting a mitzvah. I will say, why am I not getting a mitzvah? Because I'm benefiting from this arrangement. This arrangement is done ultimately to benefit me as well. Therefore, you can't call me a shomer sachar based on the fact that I'm getting a mitzvah. Lahana also neskavin. This is for my benefit, and therefore I'm a shomer chinam. Rabbi Akiva savar. Kevan de poches alav v'holech mitzvahi v'lohavi alav ela kishomer sachar. What Rabbi Akiva says, that even if I'm deriving benefit ultimately again from the collateral, at the end of the day, because I'm paying for that service, I am still called a shomer sachar, for I still derive benefit from the fact that I fulfilled the mitzvah of lending money. Good. So we'll say lema katanoi. So say ultimately again that this is still subject to machlokes. And I bless you. Hamaves chavira ala mashkon v'nichnes hashmita. And we'll say, get ready for this. Again, it's just one amazing case after the next. So we'll say, so I lend Reuven money, right? I lend $1,000, but he gives me collateral. He gives me his watch. And then Rabbi will say, what happens? Shemitah comes. Remember again, under normal circumstances, what does Shemitah do? Shemitah cancels all debts. Even though, again, the collateral is not worth the full value of the loan, but rather it's worth only a part of the loan. We'll say, watch this. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, even though the collateral is worth only a fraction of the loan, nevertheless, that is enough to go ahead and prevent Shemitah from canceling the debt. I will say, Rashi says over here something very interesting, just to understand the mechanics of this. So Hamav Alamash Rashi says, In Shemitah Misham Toso. If you lend money on collateral, I will say, Shemitah does not cancel the debt. Now, why is that? Ze'in kan mishum lo yigos, shahari eno nok sho. We'll say, listen to this. The Pasuk by Shemitah says, lo yigos esra'ehu. You can't press your fellow for repayment, right? Ki kavashnas ha-Shemitah, you can't press your fellow for repayment. We'll say, here's the chap. If I have collateral, then what? Then what? I don't have to press anyone for anything. Why not? Because I've got an object that represents the value or represents some type of repayment. Therefore, I will say, that's the logic. That's it. And by the way, Paskin like that, halacha lamaisa. If I lend money to someone, I lend $1,000 to Reuven, and Reuven gives me his Rolex. Let's assume it's comparable value right now. So I'll say the halacha is Shemitah does not cancel that debt. Because since I already have collateral, it's as if that debt is in a state of quasi-collection, and therefore Shemitah does not cancel it. Okay, so let's say, the Shaila then comes up, so that's easy to understand in a case where what? Where the collateral is worth pretty much the value of the debt itself. What about where the collateral is not worth the value of the debt, right? I go ahead and I lend him $1,000 and he gives me, whatever. He gives me another object that's worth $500. So let's say, so the Shaila is now, does that collateral prevent Shemitah from still canceling the debt? So we'll say, watch this. So let's read the Gemara again. So Mavis Chavir Ala Mashkon Benichas HaShemitah. I lend Rubin $1,000, he gives me a Mashkon. And Shemitah comes, Afa Pi Sheino Shava Ela Palga. Even though I lend him $1,000. And the Mashkon itself is worth only $500. Eino Meshamit. I will say, Shemitah will not cancel the debt. Divrei Reb Shimon Gamliel. Ultimately, I will say, this is ultimately again a statement of Reb Shimon Gamliel. Reb Yehuda Anasi Omer. Reb Yehuda Anasi says, "Im haya mashkono kineged chava in meshamit, ve'im lav meshamit." Reb Yehuda Anasi says, "No, if the mashkon is the value of the debt, then einach nami shmita doesn't cancel. But if the mashkon is less than the value of the debt, then what? Shmita cancels." So Gemara says, "My einu meshamit tekamar tanakama." It will say, "What is it when ultimately again the tanakama said that if I lend the money ala mashkon?" That Shemitah is not Meshamit, what does that mean? Ilema kinegdo, if you want to say that ultimately it means that Shemitah doesn't cancel the amount of the debt that corresponds to the value of the Mashkon. Michlad Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Savar kinegdo Nami Meshamit. Could it be that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi would hold that Rabbi say that Shemitah ultimately again would go ahead and what? Would go ahead and Lemaisa cancel out even the part of the debt that corresponds to the value of the mashkon? Ella amai tafis mashkon. If that's the case, then what good is holding on to mashkon? Ella lav kineget kulo. Rather, you have to say that what? That it must be that lemaisa, the presence of the mashkon, prevents Shemitah from canceling the debt in its entirety. Even what Rabbi say, even the amount of the mash, even the amount of the debt that. Not supersedes. Even the amount of the debt, that exceeds the value of the mashkon. Thank you. And ultimately, again, their fundamental machlokas of Osai all comes back to what? To Shmuel. Osai, all roads lead back to Shmuel. What does that mean? Because Osai, remember, Shmuel is the one who said that what? Shmuel, you could use that one. Right? All roads lead back to Shmuel. So Osai, the idea over here is that what? The question over here in this situation is, what is the nature of the relationship between a mashkon, where the value of the mashkon does not match the value of the debt? At the end of the day, do we say that lemaisa again, that the mashkon represents the debt in its entirety, even though the mashkon's actual value is less than the debt in its entirety, or not? Maybe that's at the root of this machlokas. And I will say again, one of the manifestations of Shmuel's statement is what collateral does vis-a-vis Shemitah. So says the Gemara, amazing. The Tanakama holds that a mashkon only works in the amount of the mashkon which corresponds to the amount of the debt. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Savra Kinegdo Nami Meshamit. And Rabbi Yehuda Anasi therefore will say that what? That no, I will say when Shemitah comes, so Shemitah will wipe out everything, even the amount ultimately of the mashkon which corresponds to the amount of the debt. So you see it yourself for 1 second. If Shemitah has the ability ultimately again to wipe out the amount of the debt which corresponds to the mashkon, then what good does the mashkon do? To which the Gemara says, mashkon lezichron dvarim ba'alma. We'll say ultimately again what the mashkon does is it's a reminder of the debt. That Rabbi say again, the mashkon is a tangible, valuable reminder ultimately of again of the fact that I went ahead and I lent Reuven money, but in no way does it represent some unit of collection. So therefore Rabbi say this ultimately again is what we are left with. So first of all, let's go back. So how do we paskin, Rabbi say? In general, when it comes to mashkon, so what is the role of mashkon when it comes to collection of the debt? So also listen to this. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, this is in Choshen Mishpat, Simin Ayin Beis Sif Beis, the Ramah. So look who's listening to the Ramah says, the impirish varim b'shas halva, shemekabel hamashkon b'chol achof, afilum kibel kata demagla ba'al fezuze, avad hamashkon, avad hakos. So we'll say, we accept Shmuel's position, but with a modification. Or with a, we'll call it modification is the right word. What's the, so we'll say, remember again, Shmuel makes a blanket statement. Shmuel says that when I as the lender receive the mashkon, then what? I accept that mashkon as the full value of the debt. Even if what? Even if what? Even if it's clear that the mashkon is worth much less than the debt. The Shulchan Aruch, the Rama says, no, that's not how it works. The way it works is as follows. If I go ahead and I lend $1,000 to Reuven, Reuven gives me a mashkon. If I say, Reuven, I hereby accept this mashkon as potential repayment of the debt, then what? Then the mashkon ultimately, again, stands in lieu of repayment, which also means as follows. Means number one, that in the event that Reuven defaults on the loan, obviously I have the mashkon. What else does it mean? If I lose the mashkon, then what? I've lost the ability to collect. But I will say that is only true if I explicitly articulate that. If I do not explicitly articulate that, and then what? He gives me a mashkon, then I will say, how do we view that mashkon? That mashkon ultimately has value, but it does not represent repayment of the debt. Therefore, what I will say, if I, the lender, lose the mashkon, what's the halacha? I have to pay him back. What I have to pay him back? The value of the mashkon itself, or I could deduct the value of that mashkon from the amount that Reuven owes me. So we'll say, so bottom line is, we accept the fact that a mashkon that is valued at less than the actual debt itself can serve as repayment of the debt, but only in a situation where that was explicitly articulated ultimately by the lender. But in the event that it was not explicitly articulated by the lender, then the most that the lender is on the hook for, Rabbi Osai, is what? Is the actual value of the mashkon. Rabbi Osai, that's number one. Number two, how do we paskin by Shemitah? So Rabbi Osai, we paskin by Shemitah that if you have a collateralized loan, even if the collateral is worth only a fraction of the debt, the presence of collateral ultimately, again, allows, or I should say, prevents Shemitah from going ahead and negating, or prevents Shemitah from wiping out the debt. We'll say the idea behind that is, because once I have collateral, collateral represents that the debt is in a state of quasi-collection. Once it's in a state of quasi-collection, even though, again, the mashkron itself is much less valuable than the actual debt itself, once it's in a state of quasi-collection, Shemitah is not mishamed. Shemitah will not wipe it out. Hajjan Allah, Shvuas Hadidan. I will say Mazel Tov. Kalan Shvuas Shabbatur. I will say New parent. I will say now, this is a dramatically riveting sugya of Shvuas Dirabanon. Then I will say, we're going to blow the top off of Shvuas right now. Mamish, like, you know, right now we've been dealing with Shvuas one by one. Now we're about to deal with all of them together. I will say, and now specifically, but we're going to be dealing with a grouping of Shvuas, namely Shvuas Dirabanon, Rabbinic Shvuas. So says the Mishnah, calling the Shvuas Shvuas, I will listen to this. When it comes to biblical Shvuas, right, Nishvoin below Mishtamin, I will say, so if you notice again, the pattern over here by Shvuas, I will say, is the point over here is to do what? Is to exempt yourself from liability. So a biblical Shvuas says, I'm chayiv something, I'm going to take a Shvuas to free myself from responsibility. So essentially, on a biblical level, I swear in order not to pay. So we'll say, so again, this, so we were just talking about Moldova Mixas. I say, Reuven, I lent you $1,000. Reuven says, you only lent me $500. What does he do? Right? He takes a Shvua in order to what? Not pay. Right? Reuven, I deposited an object with Reuven. I say, Reuven, give me back my object. Reuven says, I gave it back to you. But I say, what's the halacha? He takes a Shvua. Why? In order not to pay. Biblical Shvua, so we'll say, are there to exempt people from liability. Watch this. However, ve'elu nishpan v'noten. Oh, Ben Abba said, this is very exciting. Now we're introducing a new category, a new kadra of Shavuos, which Abba said, this would have been a category, this would have been a rubric. So what happens? You swear in order to go ahead and take money. So Abba said, here, I'm swearing in order to get paid. I'm swearing in order to collect money. What are the examples of this? So first of all, so we'll just run through the list and the Mishnah is going to break them down. Hasachir, Hanigzal, hanechbal shekinegdo ala shvua vechen vani al pinkaso. Fine. So we'll say. So what are all these cases? Now, so I want to point out. If you look at Rashi, four lines down in the new Mishnah, ve'ilun l'shvam v'notlin shetignu l'cham l'shav alitzol. We'll say these are all rabbinic shvuos, where the rabbis instituted that these people will swear in order to collect payment. We'll say. So watch this. Watch these cases. Hasachir keitzan. It will say, what's the case of the sachir? It will say, sachir means a hired worker. It will say, this is an incredible case. Amar lo, tein li schari sheyeshli biyadecha. It will say, I work for Reuven. I say, Reuven, right? I'm a day laborer. It will say, this case works best with like a day laborer. I'm a day laborer. So what happens? I say, Reuven, please go ahead and pay me my wage, right? I work today, pay me my wage. Sheyeshli biyadecha. Hu omer, nasati, Reuven says, I paid you already. V'alo omer lo natalti, and I say, I don't know what you're talking about because I didn't get paid. Right? So again, in this case, Reuven, my employer, is saying he paid me. I'm saying I never got paid. So I say, what's the halacha? Hu nishba v'notel. The halacha is I, the worker, take a shvua that I never got paid, and what? And I collect my salary. So I swear that I never got paid and I collect my salary. Rabbi Huda says, well, this is amazing. Rabbi Huda says, no, there has to be some type of partial admission. For example, Ketzad, Amar lo tenli schari chamishim dinar. I say, Reuven, I work today, yomi 50 dinar. Sheish tibi adecha. V'hu omer hiskabalta dinar zav. Reuven says, essentially, I already paid you 30. So also Rabbi Huda holds that these shvuas are only shvuas, and Rabbi Huda is kind of making them like modeb amiktsas cases. That in modeb amiktsas cases, I'm claiming you owe me today's wages. Reuven says, I paid you part of the wage. I swear regarding the remainder and take it. Now, Rabosai, the important part, now we'll discuss this machlokes in the Gemara, but the point of Rabosai is, remember, this is a rabbinic shvuah that is structured so that I swear in order to collect. I swear because I want to get money. Nigzal, we'll say, what's the case of a stolen object? Hayu me'idin, oh, so listen to this case. Shenichnas labeisa lamashkin ashla b'shus. So we'll say, watch this. I lent Reuven money. Now, I decided, I'm getting a little bit nervous that he's a flight risk or whatever it is. I decide to go into his house. I'm not breaking in. I'm letting myself in. Right. So what happens? I go ahead. This is my sibachol yom. Right. So I have people let themselves in. So I say. So what happens? So I go ahead and I walk into his house. Lemashkin oshlo b'shus. I walk in to go ahead and take something without rishus. Hu omer kelei natalta. So Reuven claims. Listen, you took my object. V'hu omer lo natalti. And I say, listen, I didn't take anything. I don't know what you're talking about. Hu nishpa v'notel. Ultimately, again, I'll say, what could happen? So Reuven, who is the supposed aggrieved party, right? He says that I claim the mashkin. He takes a shvua in order to go ahead and what? Take back the object. Rabbi Huda says, ashatesha miktas hoda. Rabbi Huda says there has to be a partial admission. For example, Ketzad, Amar lo shnei kelim natalta. So I go into Reuven's home. I take two objects, or I take stuff as collateral. Reuven claims that what silver you took two kelim. I say v'omer lo natalti ela echad, and I claim that Reuven say no, I only took one object. Okay, so fine. Reuven say so. Mode makes sense. So again, you're going to see Rabbi Huda is going to argue on each of these cases. Rabbi Huda requires that there be some type of hodah makes us. Reuven say, watch this. Get ready for this case. Nechbal ketzad. This is amazing. What's the case of damages or injury? So hayu me'idin oso shenichnas tachas yado shalim v'yatza chavu. Reuven say, watch this. So I went to meet with Reuven. A witness is testify that before Reuven met with me, he was perfectly healthy and fine. But then when he came out of the meeting, what happened? He has two black eyes and a broken arm. So va'amar lo chabal tabi. And Reuven says, that's what? Silvery beat me up. Va'omer lo, lo chavalti. I say to him, you tripped, right? You walked into the doorknob. You know, whatever it is. You know, I didn't do anything. I don't know what you're talking about. So I say, what's the halacha? Harizem nishba v'notel. Reuven could take a shura bosai, and what? He could take a shvua, and ultimately, again, collect damages. Rabbi Huda says, again, I will say, same thing. Achete sham miktsas hoda. Rabbi Huda requires that there be some type of partial admission. I will say, what's the case of partial admission? Ketzad, Amar lo chavalta bishtayim. Well, let's listen to this. So Reuven will say, you broke both my arms, right? You gave me two injuries. V'halo omer lo chavalti l'cha ela achos. And Rabbi say, what do I say? I say, I only went ahead and damaged you in one way. In one way. So we'll say, so, okay, so let's, if I know it, we'll stop over here. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem with Shekinegdo Ashvua, Emirat Hashem tomorrow. Shvaya.
How's about this Pekadim business? If it was so simple, you got to pick